Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Bishop Dale Bronner is the founder, senior pastor of Word of Faith Family Worship Cathedral, founded in 1991 with over 19,000 members today. He is a much sought after conference speaker, leadership trainer who travels, take him around the world. He's an accomplished author, co-author, and has helped with many books. They live in Atlanta, Georgia, him and his family, and we're just delighted and blessed to have him here with us today. Amen, church? Let's stand up and give him a first class welcome to Church on the Rock.
Wow. You may be seated. So great to be here. It's just not fair for you guys to have so many great things going on here at your church. I mean, you got Lecrae coming on Thursday. I'm so tempted now to come back on Thursday night. My goodness. Wow. You know he's from Atlanta, too. I'm from Atlanta. So, wow. So it looks like Atlanta. This is Atlanta week in St. Louis. And so honored to be here and I just want you to know that you've got a real gift and a jewel in your pastors here, Pastor David, Pastor Kim. What incredible leadership in this house. This is just a blessed place to be. I mean, so blessed that when you die and go to heaven, you're going to want to ask the Lord, can you come back home on the weekend just to have service? I meant the impeccability of the worship and all of the audio visuals and all of that. That doesn't just happen by accident. It happens on purpose and with precision. And this is a wonderful, wonderful house. It just lifts you to a whole nother level when you just come in the house. So kudos to Pastor David Blunt and Pastor Kim and all of the staff and leadership of this church. I just commend you and just love the spirit of the house. This is just so, so blessed. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that those who are joining online, that you're a part and connected to this house. It's good to be able to have a heart for the house. When you touch somebody next to you and say, I have a heart for the house. It's just a blessing to have a heart for the house. And you know, when children are young, they're on your lap. But when they get grown, they're on your heart. And even when we travel and when you're away from here, always have a heart for the house, a heart for the house. Church on the Rock, a wonderful, wonderful place to be able to worship, to meet, to fellowship, and to establish some wonderful, wonderful friendships in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great place, you know, to be able to strengthen marriage and just to grow as believers. There was a Jamaican guy, he was visiting in a hotel, and you know, he and his wife were in room 838, and they were having an argument. And now he gets on the phone and calls down to the receptionist at the front desk, and he says, I'm having an argument with my wife. You need to send someone up here. And they said, sir, we don't get involved in personal matters. Your argument with your wife is a very personal matter. He says, listen, you idiot. She's threatened to jump out of the window, and the window won't open. That's a maintenance matter. It's amazing. But I'm glad you're here in the house today. I'm glad that you're here and that you are a survivor and an overcomer. How wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. Well, this morning, some different thoughts came into my spirit for me to share in this service, and I want to share them actually from Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, in the Message version of the scriptures. You'll notice there these words, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can do with your own life. Amen. And I want to talk for just a few moments from this thought of the journey within, the journey within. You notice the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. He had just talked in this particular passage about individuals restoring people who had been overtaken by a sin, restoring them with love and meekness, and consider themselves, because we're not in the position to have to judge other folks because we've got to deal with our own stuff. In fact, Jesus taught us the principle, judge not that ye be not judged. So we want to be able to help restore fallen people. People fall sometimes. They get overtaken sometimes. And Paul is admonishing the church here. He says, ye that are spiritual, I want you to restore such a one in the spirit of love and meekness. And he's telling us, make a careful exploration of who you are. Now notice he says, make a careful exploration of who you are, not what you have. Because when you get to heaven, God is not going to ask anybody, how many cars did you have? What kind of watch did you wear? How many pair of shoes did you have? What did your investment portfolio look like? God's not going to ask those kinds of questions. He says, take a careful exploration of who you are. Who you are is not what you have, is who you are. Who you are is what gets you what you have. Amen. You know, those of you that are married, you were able to get your spouse not because of what you had, but because of who you are. So he says, take a careful exploration of who you are. And he says, don't compare yourself with others. Don't compare yourself with others. Listen, if you're going to compare yourself with anybody, compare yourself with your best self from yesterday. You know, where are my Latino friends? Oh, ellos que hablan español. When I was down in South America, I would begin this way. I said, yo tengo tres reglas. I have three rules. No compitas, no compares, y no te quejas. Don't compete, don't compare, and don't complain. These are my three pet peeves. You don't compete, you don't compare, you don't complain. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church here at Galatians, telling the saints, don't compare yourself with others. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. You are to compare yourself to what God has called and destined you to be. But not with others. We're not in a comparison. Comparison, if you're better than somebody, it'll give you a spirit of pride. And then if you're worse than somebody, it'll give you a spirit of condemnation. And Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that it might be saved. And so he says, I want you to take a careful exploration of who you are, not what you have. Take a careful exploration of who you are, because the who determines the what. And if you don't really understand who you are, to understand your identity in Jesus Christ, more than anything else now, it's one of the biggest problems in the spiritual world and battles that people are having is the identity crisis. They don't know who they are. You know, online, we have people that they used to steal your wallets. Now they are stealing your identity, your credit card number. Your files, your portfolio, your social security number. If they get certain information, they can pretend as though they are you, and we're dealing with stolen identity today. And now people, more than ever before in history, don't know whether they are a man or a woman. Somebody is identifying down in Australia, and I've been there several times, and a person identified as some type of animal. And they married an animal, because that's how they identified. So we're dealing with stolen identity, people who are confused, people who underperform because they don't know who they are. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, take a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given. I want you to think about that. Take a careful exploration of who you are and the work that has been given to you. Careful exploration of who you are and the work that has been given to you. You see, you have to take care of yourself, and I want you to understand the difference of self-care and selfish. Self-care is a healthy thing. You need to take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. I was in the gym the other day working out. This older gentleman was beside me, and he looked at me, and he said, son, had I known that I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Well, you know, if he didn't take better care of himself, nobody else was going to do it. And now he's dealing with it in his joints, in the slowness of his mobility. And so he's doing it. And so this is all that the Apostle Paul is telling. He says, take careful exploration of who you are and the things that God has called you to do, what he's assigned for you to do. You know, what has God called you to do? Think about your vocation and then your calling. You know, actually the word vocation comes from the word vocare, which means calling. But really, your job is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. So when you work in what God made you to be, and this is why Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, I want you to take careful exploration of who you are and what has been given to you. You know, the assignments, the task that has been assigned to your life, what has been committed to you to do. Are you just doing something that you're paid to do? Are you doing something that you were made to do, made by God? You were crafted to do this. You can hear certain voices and you know they were made to sing. You can see certain people, they were made to dance. Some people were made for basketball, for football, for soccer. They were just made for accounting. They were made for teaching. They were made for administrating. They were made for it. They were just made for it. It's amazing. So when the Apostle Paul says, take careful exploration, I believe that he's saying, acknowledge your temperament. Know who you are. Understand who you are. Acknowledge your temperament. You know that there are folks that are saved, but they are temperamental. Some folks are temperamental until they've had their coffee. They are very temperamental. Some people are just not morning people. You know, you talk to some people while they are, you know, you've heard the expression hangry, because their temperament is affected because they are hungry. And once you feed them, they're just a total different person. So you have to acknowledge your temper and have an understanding of your strengths and your skills, and recognize your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities. Have an understanding of your spiritual gifts that you have been given. Uncover your passions. He says, take a careful, not a casual, but a careful exploration of who you are. Who you are, who you are. Because the calling that God has given to you is really about who you are, because here's the process. You have to be before you do, and you do before you have, in that order. You have to be before you do, and you do before you have. And we have a problem when we have people trying to do things that they've not yet become. You have to be it first, then you do it. And then we have people trying to have stuff that they've not first done. So we'll have people who have not done the work of prosperity, and yet they have all of the external accoutrements of it. And when you have before you do, you create a problem, which is, I call it artificial prosperity, because it's paid for on credit. And that's when you have stuff that you haven't yet done, and you haven't done it yet because you haven't become it. You see, God is love. Love is not what God does. Love is who God is. When you understand who you are as a child of God, that he that is born of God is also born of love, because God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is love. It's not that he does love. God is love. He loves because that is the nature of who he is. And once you discover who you are, you just simply open yourself and express that nature. You express the nature. Now, here's the thing. In our understanding of that and realizing that our identity, the word identity comes from two different words, meaning from one word means being and the other one repeatedness. Whatever you continue to repeat becomes your identity. Something can't have an identity if it's changing every day. The identity is confused. If you identify something, if it was this yesterday, it's going to be this tomorrow because that's its identity. It can't change every hour and then you call that an identity. Identity is from the root of being repeatedly the same. So that's where we get identity. It's whatever you continue to do over and over and over. That's what we generally take our identity in. It's what we continue to do over and over. But for us as Christians, our full identity doesn't come by what we do. It becomes because of whose we are. You remember when Jesus was being baptized by John? And God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And he just spoke those words. Now, when God said that concerning Jesus, he had not preached one sermon. He had not performed one miracle. He had not opened one blind eye or unstopped a deaf ear. He had not loosed a mute tongue. He had not performed one miracle. And yet God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God was pleased in who he was, not what he did. Because if you're pleased in the character and the nature of who a person is, you'll know what they'll do. When you know somebody's nature is to love, you don't have to worry about getting abused by them. When you know that a person has a character of integrity, you don't have to worry about them cheating you when you're not looking. That's who they are. You can quit what you do, but you cannot quit who you are. So when God begins to do something on the inside of us, this is why Paul is telling us, take a careful exploration of who you are. He's just saying, take a careful exploration of who you are. Just notice of who you are and the work that you've been given. What does God call you to do? What does he call you to do? Paul says, take a careful exploration. I want to give you three words, and then I'm finished. The first word is the word reflection. 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 This is about taking a look at who you are. The only way that you can see what you look like is through a reflection. A mirror is a reflector. If you're married, your spouse is your reflector. And they'll tell you when you're doing good and they'll tell you when you've messed up. Because they're not infatuated with you. So they will tell you. If you just wonder, you know, that's why your spouse, they are a reflector. They reflect the nature of who you are. The benefit of reflection is this. It is evaluation. The benefit of reflection is evaluation. The benefit of reflection is evaluation. When you notice this, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. As you reflect on things, reflection turns experience into insight. Reflection turns experience into insight. You can keep doing the same thing over and over again and never get any insight about what you're doing or how to do it better unless you reflect on the experience. Experience is not the best teacher. Reflected experience is the best teacher. It is only through reflecting on the experiences that you've had that you're able to evaluate it and ask questions. You ask questions like, let's see, how did it go? What went well? What could have been better? Was it too long? Was it too short? Was it too hot? Was it too cold? I mean, you're asking reflective questions. You don't get answers unless you ask questions. So the first word that I want you to think about is the word reflection. This is why the Apostle Paul is telling us, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given. Make a careful exploration. Reflect on who you are. Reflect on the work that you have been given. Reflect on it. As you reflect on it, and here's some reflective questions that I always ask. This is how I think. I ask the question of persistence. Have I been persistent? Say persistent. Persistent. You see, if you're persistent, you'll get it, whatever it is. If you're working at trying to master an instrument, if you're persistent, you'll get it. If it's a particular thing in athletics, if you're persistent in your practice, you'll get it. If you're persistent, you'll get it. If you're persistent, am I persistent in pursuing the character of Christ? Am I persistent? Am I persistent in developing in what God has called me to do? Am I really persistent in the work that I have been given? Am I persistent? Or do I just say, you know, I tried it, it didn't work? If you're persistent, if at first you don't succeed, you try again, think, you pray, and then you go back and try it again. You reflect on it and say, let me see what I was doing, how I was doing it. Is there something that I'm leaving out? Let me try a different approach. And you go back to it because you're persistent. If you're persistent, you'll get it. So I ask the question, am I persistent? Here's the second thing that I ask, am I consistent? Am I consistent? Because if you're consistent, you'll keep it. There are some men that are persistent to get a wife, but then they're not consistent to do the things to get her in order to keep her. And now there's trouble in paradise because homeboy is no longer consistent. And let me tell you this. Consistency is what produces trustability. Consistence. Because if a wife is married to a man and if she knows my husband is home at 5:30 every day, and as long as he walks in every day by 5:30, she trusts him. But if he steps in out of the, for 20 years he's been coming in at 5:30, and all of a sudden he waltzes in the house one day at 7:28, and his character has consistently come in at 5:30, and he waltzes in with no explanation. Now the question is, where you been? Because this is inconsistent with his pattern, with his nature, with his performance in the past. If you're consistent, you'll keep it. If you're persistent, you'll get it. If you're consistent, you'll keep it. You can't just go and go on a diet, you know, and then just, you know, 10, 15 pounds fall off, you know, because you persistently pursued it, and then you go back to eating the same thing that put it on the first time. So if you're not consistent, you won't keep it. So if you're persistent, you'll get it. If you're consistent, you will keep it. Here's a third word that I ask. Am I grateful for what I already have? Because if you're grateful, you will attract more of the blessings that are already in your life. If you're persistent, you'll get it. If you're consistent, you'll keep it. But if you're grateful, you will attract more of it. Who wants to bless somebody who is ungrateful? Gratitude is a bridge over which future blessings will be brought into your life. So one of the greatest things that you can do when you have a grateful heart to God, grateful people are happy people. Grateful people are happy people. Grateful people are happy people. Whenever you find unhappy people, they are ungrateful. Grateful people are happy people. It's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself is to say, Lord, I may not have much, but Lord, I thank you for what I do have. Thank you, God, that there is a roof over my head. Thank you that I've got clothes to wear. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I don't know about you, but I always want to make sure that I am thankful over what I've been given, because you compare yourself to so-and-so, but, you know, I've been here longer than them, and they got a higher position than I do now. No. Listen, make a careful exploration of who you are, not who somebody else is. Jealousy is when you start counting somebody else's blessings more than you count your own. I got to count my blessings. Count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings. You see, it's about you. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given? Have you been grateful for the assignment that's on your life? And so I ask reflective questions. Am I persistent in what I'm doing? Am I consistent? Do I come in on time? Can they depend upon me? Is there a trustability? Have I been accountable with time and money? You show who you are by your integrity with time and with money. With time and with money. With time and with money. I love this ministry, how they honor time. Time is a gift. It is one of the most precious commodities that you could ever have. In my church, we always start on time. We never wait for people, because if you wait for somebody, you punish the people who were on time and you reward the folks that were late. And so, am I persistent? Am I consistent? Am I grateful? Here's another question that I ask myself. Am I surrendered? Am I surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ? Am I surrendered to the Word of God? Am I surrendered to His will? Have you surrendered to Him? Is your life surrendered to the God authority in your life? Is the husband surrendered to the wife? Is the wife surrendered to the husband? Is the member surrendered to the leadership of the church? Am I surrendered? Am I surrendered? Take a careful exploration of yourself. Am I living a surrendered life? Have you surrendered? You know, you have to surrender to Jesus. When we get saved, it is a surrender of the old life that we used to have. You have to surrender. The way to win and stop the war is to surrender. I surrender 98%. No, all. We surrender all. I surrender all. Am I surrendered? Because sometimes you'll discover that you've dug up something and you've brought it back into your life. Am I surrendered? Here's the other question I ask myself. Am I surrounded? Am I surrounded? I was just reading the other day. A research study was done. It said 71% of men do not have anybody that they can name as a best friend. A really bona fide best friend. Now, they got folks that they can watch the sports games with and go out and do things with. But to talk about the secrets of their life, their hurts, their frustrations. 71% of men, it said, don't have a band of brothers. Just like I'm here and my wife is at home, that if my wife were afraid and 2 o'clock in the morning and she called and she said, oh my God, who would I call at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm in another city to go over to my house? Who do you have that you're surrounded with, your band of brothers, your band of sisters? See, I've got 4 brothers back home in Atlanta. I got folks that I can call. I grew up with a band of brothers. I grew up with a band of brothers. So I've got folks that I can call. But 71% of men, it says, don't have anybody that they can call at 2 o'clock in the morning to send over to their house to help their wife in a crisis who's panicking. 71%. Are you surrounded? Are you in a small group connected to a group of believers? Folks that can keep you encouraged, that can help to correct your perspective. Am I surrounded? And then here's the other final question that I would ask. Am I grounded? Am I grounded? Am I picking up and moving every 2 or 3 months? Every time my rent is due and I'm finding a new apartment? Am I grounded? Am I grounded? Am I grounded in truth? Am I grounded in who God has called me to be? Am I grounded? Am I surrendered? Am I surrounded? Am I grounded? Am I grounded? Am I grounded in the local church? Am I grounded? You have to be grounded in a place that we call home, so that when you've been battered out there, that you got a place of refuge that you can run to and realize that I know that I'm coming to be strengthened, to hear a confirming word from God. I'm coming into that place. And so that's why you need to take time in reflection. Time in reflection. Here's a second word that I would give you. Selection. 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 This is where you make a new decision. You see, if you evaluate things, obviously there's something that needs to change. And it means that you're going to have to make a new decision. You know, I'm an etymologist. The word decision It's made up of three different components. Dave, which means off, Sis, which means to cut, and Sean, which means the state of. Every time that you make a decision, it is the state of cutting off. When you make a decision, when you made a decision to come to this church, you cut off the option to go into any other church right at this time. You cut off. You have to know, am I going to this particular place? You can only go to one place at a time. So you have to make a decision. And if you've got more than one child, it's a chore to even decide where you're going to eat. Because somebody wants chicken and another person wants burgers and somebody else wants pizza. And so you're making a decision. When you make the decision, it is a state of cutting off. Incision, the state of cutting in. Excision, the state of cutting out. You excise cancer. Circumcision, the state of cutting around. But when you need to cut something off, you need to make a decision. And once you have taken the reflective evaluation, now you're selecting what decision I need to make. And here's the deal. The areas of your focus are the areas of your reward. Whatever you focus on, when you make that decision focuses you. The areas of your focus are the areas of your reward, and the areas of your pain, of your neglect, are the areas of your pain. The areas of your neglect are the areas of your pain. The areas of your focus is the areas of your reward, and the areas of your neglect are the areas of your pain. If you neglect your marriage, that's where you'll have pain. If you neglect your children, that's where you'll have pain. If you neglect your health, that's where you will have pain. If you neglect your financial life, that's where you will have pain. Because the areas of your neglect are the areas of your pain. It's amazing. So we have to make a selection. We have to make a selection. And then the final word is the word acquisition. And this is the question that asks, what do I need based on my reflective evaluation and based on the decision that I have made through the selection process? What have I selected? What do I need now to acquire to make that dream come true? What do I need to acquire to become a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better servant of God, a better employee? Notice the text. Make a careful, not casual, careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Sink yourself in becoming the best you, because now you become more valuable to God. Because if God has somebody who's available and somebody who's available and skilled and ready, which one is he going to choose to send into a crisis? The one who's available or the one who's available and ready? He's going to get the available and ready one. And so that's why he says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. And don't be impressed with yourself. No matter how many skills you have, don't be impressed with yourself, because you have to realize we're all dust. What do you need to acquire in the acquisition? Do you need to acquire more money? Do you need to acquire more maturity? Sometimes the only thing that's keeping you from being successful on the level where you are is the maturity that you lack. I have to tell young people all of the time, listen, the way that you gain respects is with your ears, and the way that you lose it is with your mouth. Sometimes it's just a discernment. It's just a maturity that comes. And so what is it that you need to acquire? Sometimes it's humility so that somebody can teach you. It takes humility to have a teachable spirit. What is it that you need to acquire to be the person that God has called you to be? Because God has something powerful that he's called you to be. And I encourage you today, take the journey within and ask the hard questions, and God will do something awesome in your life. God bless you. I love you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.